I'm going to go to the Prince Jesus said, I am resurrection and I am life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never truly die. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I hold the keys of hell and death. Because I live, Jesus says, you shall live also. We've gathered here on this beautiful winter's day to praise God and to witness to our faith as we celebrate the life of Mary Pierce White, a native of Weldon, North Carolina, a daughter, a sister, a UNC graduate and Tar Heel cheerleader, a mother, a grandmother, a beloved aunt, a nursery school teacher, and that's why we're the children's stole, a longtime Trinity United Methodist Church member and anchor of altos in their choir, and head of the Needlepoint Project for that church, a golfer, a harmonica soloist, a steadfast friend, a neighbor, but most importantly, a beloved child of God. We come together in grief, acknowledging that we've experienced human loss. May God grant us His grace, that in our pain we might find comfort, in our sorrow we might know hope, and in our own death we might experience resurrection. Let us give voice to our faith and to the joy in Mary Pierce's life as we sing Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. It's hymn number 89 in the hymnal, and I invite you to stand as you choose to do so. The hymnals are in front of you or on the side. Please be seated. Let's join together in the prayer which you find printed in your bulletin. Let us pray together. Eternal God, we praise you for the great company of all those who have finished their course in faith and now rest from their labor. We praise you for those dear to us, whom we name in our hearts before you. Especially we praise you for Mary Pierce, whom you have graciously received into your presence. To all of these, grant your peace. Let perpetual light shine upon them and help us so to believe where we have not seen, that your presence may lead us through our years and bring us at last with them into the joy of your home, not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Isn't it a lovely day? That's the caption for this particular calendar page for the month of April. It's the first and only Crozdale calendar featuring residents as covered children. April features that smiling Mary Pierce, covered in raindrops, but smiling anyway. And that caption could well be the one for her life. Isn't she a lovely lady? It is my honor and privilege to share statements from family members this day. If we let each of them speak, we would miss the Carolina game later today. So forgive me in advance for not sharing all of your wonderful memories and words of praise for this one that you love. Got the pages out of order. So this is from Henry Johnson. Mary Pierce experienced serious health woes when she was growing up in Weldon. Because of this, her mother, my Aunt Londa, was somewhat concerned about her when she was expecting her first child, Jim. The due date came and went. Aunt Londa had some concerns, but she wasn't too worried. But as more time passed and there was no Jim, Aunt Londa became more and more concerned. Finally, after 2 weeks came with no delivery, Aunt Londa dreamed that Jim finally arrived and was old enough to start the first grade. This from, is it Edie? She says, I'd say Mary Pierce was a force of nature. I'm sure that you know she was very sick with asthma as a child and not expected to live past the age of 10. My mother spoke of watching her go off in an ambulance and thinking she'd never see her again. Perhaps it was that experience that gave her the energy and appreciation for life that she had for so long. Whatever it was, she always had more energy than I and walked twice as fast. Her father, Daddy Pierce, always said that Mary Pierce never met a stranger. He was so right about that, and I see heads nodding. She was happy to meet you, glad to see you again, and absolutely sincere. From Jim Johnson, a part of a larger piece, but these words, Aunt Mary was truly my favorite aunt. I think these are continuing the words of Edie. Aunt Mary had two speeds. They were on and off. On meant full speed ahead, and off didn't count. About surprise harmonica solos, I'm sure there are many, but the ones I have witnessed include the rehearsal dinner at my daughter Liz's wedding, the reception at my daughter Anne's wedding, and the memorial service for my father, who died at 96. On the occasion of my father's service, she preferenced her solo with the disclaimer that her selection did not necessarily reflect on the person we were honoring. And then she proceeded to play When the Saints Go Marching In. Daddy was no saint. and then from Lee Johnson. I'm a nephew of Mary Pierce White. I don't know that I have much to add to her amazing legacy of positivity and love, but I have one vivid memory. As a child, I occasionally would have the fear that something would happen to my parents. And if that was ever to occur, the choice of who I live with in my mind was always crystal clear. It would be my Aunt Mary. Strange maybe, but she was simply the best. One other memory. We all will have Aunt Mary's sausage casserole on Christmas morning and sugar peanuts and chocolate griddle made with salty. How precious are these memories and so many more that I didn't have time to read. That bright smile, and these are my reflections, that bright smile of Mary Pierce's was certainly her hallmark. And so was her trademark of playing Auld Lang Syne for us here at Crowsdale for our New Year's Eve celebrations. But the memory that just tickles me to the core is the year that the Life Enrichment Committee decided to celebrate all the things, the little things that make such a difference in our lives, like zippers. So on the birthday of zippers, we borrowed a costume, and Mary Pierce was the only one on the committee who would fit that costume. So she good-naturedly wore it for an entire day. What a lady. She made every day richer just by being in her presence. I shall miss her tremendously. We almost never use the words of the prophet Zephaniah in a memorial service, but these words are such a comfort to me in thinking about her. Picture God saying to Mary Pierce, "The Lord your God is in your midst. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exalt over you with singing as on a day of festival. He will bring you home." Mary Pierce White has lived with an endearing smile. Mary Pierce has died gently, and thanks be to God, Mary Pierce White lives on, not only in our memory, but eternally in the nearer presence of God, because of the promise sealed in her baptism. Thanks be to God for her life. Let us sing together of that love that Mary Pierce experienced from God and shared with us. Love divine, all loves excelling. Number 384. You may remain seated.
Thank you.
You to turn in the back of your hymnal to the 100th psalm, which you find on page 821. Let's share in this Psalter lesson responsively, looking for those times in this psalm that speak of the joy in Mary Pierce's life. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence singing. Know that the Lord who made us is God. We are the Lord's. We are the people of God, the sheep of God's pasture. Enter God's gates with thanksgiving and God's courts with praise. Give thanks and bless God's name, for the Lord is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. God's faithfulness to all generations. If I were to ask you how many words out of that short psalm resonate with her life, I bet we could generate a lot of words there: joy and singing and God's house and gladness and in his gates. And this very day, Mary Pierce has been laid to rest within the gates of God's house at her beloved Trinity United Methodist Church. Always a Methodist, all the way back to her granddaddy preacher's roots. Singing Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, the great hit tune of Charles Wesley. That woman was a Methodist to her core, and I'm so grateful to have known her. Today is a day of rejoicing as we remember the many ways that God's light has shone through Mary Pierce's life. It's also a day of lament as we surrender her back into God's loving arms, knowing that she has gone before us, and yet we fully hope and intend to see her again someday. When Jesus was about to depart from this world, he knew that those who loved him best would be grieving, would be sorrowing, would be upset that they had followed him these many years and now he would be here no more, and it would impact all of them, his departure, much like the departure of our beloved Mary Pierce will impact all of us. But in those last days, Jesus gathered his friends and he spoke to them as he speaks to us today.
from John's Gospel, chapter 14. Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I'm going. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you'll see me. Because I live, you also will live. Now, I've said these things to you while I'm still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not the peace that the world gives. Let not your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. It was just a little over 10 years ago that I came to Crowsdale Village to have this stole placed upon me and this opportunity to minister as a chaplain here at Crowsdale Village. And first week on the job, two of the most beloved women in the whole village fell, broke hips, and went to the hospital. I was sent to meet them and tell them who I was. Two women fell. Two women broke hips. One lamented and languished and lingered and died. The other one rose up as I walked in the room, hit me with this great smile and flashing eyes, had stories to tell me, told me she was sure she was going to get well again and she would rise up and be back to her old self and be golfing again soon. And that was my introduction to Mary Pierce White. Indeed, she did. I'd like to share with you a story of healing from Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Jesus crossed over by boat and a large crowd met him, and one of the meeting place leaders named Jairus came. When he saw Jesus, he fell to his knees beside himself as he begged, "Oh, my dear daughter is at death's door. Come and lay hands on her so that she will get well and live again." Jesus went with him, the whole crowd tagging along, pushing and jostling him. And then a woman who had suffered a condition of hemorrhaging for 12 years, a long succession of physicians had treated her and treated her badly and took all her money and left her worse off than before, had heard about Jesus. The woman slipped in from behind and reached to touch his robe. She was thinking to herself, "If I can just put a finger on his robe, I know that I will be made well." The moment she did it, the flow of blood dried up and she could feel the change and knew that her plague was over and done with. At the same moment, Jesus felt energy discharging from him. He turned around to the crowd and said, "Who touched me?" His disciples said, "What are you talking about? This crowd is pushing and jostling, and you're asking, who touched me? Well, dozens have touched you." Jesus went on asking, looking around to see who had touched him. The woman, knowing what had happened, knowing that she was the one who had received his healing touch, stepped up in fear and trembling and knelt before Jesus and gave him the whole story. Jesus said to her, "Daughter, you took a risk of faith, and now you're healed and whole. Live well, live blessed, and be healed." While he was still talking to the woman, some people came from Jairus' house and told him, "Never mind, your daughter's dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?" Jesus overheard what they were talking about and said to the leader, "Don't listen to them. Just trust in me." And he let no one go in with him except Peter and James and John. They entered the house and pushed their way through the gossips looking for a story and the neighbors bringing in casseroles. That's what it says in the Bible. Jesus was abrupt. "Why all this busybody grief and gossip? This little girl is not dead. She's sleeping." Provoked to sarcasm, they told the master he didn't know what he was talking about. But when he had sent out all the gossips, he took the child's father and mother along with his companions and entered the little girl's room. He clasped her hand in his and said, "Talitha kum," which means in Aramaic, "little girl, rise up." And at that, she got up and walked around. This girl was 12 years of age. Of course, they were all beside themselves with joy. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Which of those girls was Mary Pierce White? Well, when I met her, she was the woman who knew how to reach out her hand for the hem of Jesus' garment. She was able to trust, if I can just find Jesus, I know I'm going to rise up out of this hospital bed and walk again. And she did. But she was also the little girl whose parents were worried sick that their little girl was never going to live to adulthood. We heard about Aunt Londa watching over that little asthmatic girl born with a breathing difficulty. Aunt Londa watched as an ambulance carried her little girl away and wept, wondering, "Will I ever see my daughter again?" Well, she did come home. She did rise up again that day. She did get coddled and pampered and loved by an entire family that just gave her special love. Maybe that's why she always had such a lighthearted spirit, that she could just run fast, twice as fast as everyone else, be impatient, be driven, be competitive, whether it's the bridge table or the golf course or wherever she was. Her parents, her grandparents, her siblings all adored her. And it got handed on down to you folks, the cousins, the brothers and sisters, the nieces, the nephews, the sons, the grandchildren. Yeah, Mary Pierce was a force to be reckoned with. She had touched the hem of the garment. She had heard that voice in her childhood, "Little girl, rise up." And she did. She was only a young schoolgirl when that asthma nearly took her over, and her parents sent her to live with her maternal grandparents, correct? Her grandfather was a Methodist minister, and she lived for 1 year there with her grandparents in that Methodist parsonage, trying to recover the breath of life, the life of God that had been blown into her when she was created in God's own image as God's beloved child, trying to catch her breath. Well, they did a lot of things in that year. They taught her a lot of Bible stories, a lot of hymns of the faith, a lot of love from a congregation. And they gave her a harmonica, thinking maybe this will help her breathing some. And she took harmonica lessons as a little girl that year in the parsonage and learned how to play those Charles Wesley tunes and a whole bunch of other fun things. Maybe Auld Lang Syne, maybe When the Saints Go Marching In, maybe Good Night, Ladies. Yeah. What a day of living into the gospel. Little girl, rise up. And she did. Well, that little girl kept on rising up, learned how to play golf with her daddy and played with him and with y'all and with a whole bunch of others all over Tarnation, all the way from the beach to the mountains, from here to Europe, and especially at Hope Valley Country Club. She played how many? 8 decades at least of golf. She learned how to get that spirit up in her and turn it into song, and climbed all of those stairs to that high and lifted up choir loft at Trinity United Methodist Church, where she sang to the glory of God for decade after decade after decade. But not only could she ascend and sing, she could descend and kneel. Those beautiful kneeling pads around the communion rail. Do you know that it was she who stood up and said, I'll manage that project. I've got friends who do needlepoint. I'll get the patterns to them. They'll make them. We will have beautiful kneeling pads around our communion table. This woman lived her faith. That breath of life that was blown into her, that she learned to blow out through a harmonica, blow out in songs of joy, blow out with cheers. Yeah, she did it. But let me not forget when that young asthmatic girl went away to St. Mary's to school, and after a couple of years decided she could do better than St. Mary's and went to, what's it called? That school in Chapel Hill. In the first days there, her good friend Betty said, you know, I hear they're about to have cheerleader tryouts. You ought to try out. And she said, cheerleader? I don't know anything about cheering. And she said, doesn't matter. You'd be great at it. Go see. And that girl rose up and jumped up and cheered, and they took her on their squad. And even 50 years after she graduated, she was back at that school in Chapel Hill having a 50-year reunion, and she rose up and led those cheers once again. Little girl, rise up, Jesus said, and boy, did she. She rose up to care for an ailing husband when he had tuberculosis for a year. She rose up to take care of her ailing mother in the last years of her life. When she heard that they needed a den mother, she and Anne, her good friend, rose up and said, we'll do it. Here I am, Lord. Use me. No matter what the call was, we need somebody to fit into a zipper costume. We need somebody with a lot of cheer that looks like April showers that'll bring May flowers. We need a fourth at our bridge table. We need. And that little girl rose up and said, here I am. Use me. And when she would go to a wedding or a funeral, or a Vesper service, or a New Year's Eve party. She would reach into her little pocket and say, "Oh, look what's in my pocket." And she would be ready to rise up and get everybody else to rise up too with her great music. When her sister died, she rose up to another family calling that there was going to need to be a grandmother for those nieces and nephews. And she rose up and took on the role of caring for those who had lost their grandma. Well, she sort of lived into both of those great healing stories, where Jesus was brought by a concerned daddy to come and heal his little girl, and where Jesus was summoned by the touch of a desperate woman whose faith was found sufficient for Jesus to raise her up from the pavement, to hold her head high, to let her faith be known, to carry on the life that God had given her. On February 5th of the year of our Lord, 2022, Jesus found her again and said to her, "Mary Pierce, little girl, beloved child of God, rise up." And he took her by the hand, and she did. Thanks be to God for the faithfulness that is ever there for every one of us, and for the faithfulness and the joy that Mary Pierce White brought to this world, in the name of Jesus, her Savior. Amen. Will you pray with me? God of us all, your love never ends. You are always there to breathe the breath of life into us yet one more time. When all else fails and falls apart, you still are God, ready to cheer us on and to raise us up. So this day we pray to you for each other, for all anywhere who mourn with us this day. To any who doubt, we pray for your light. To any who are weak, we ask your strength. To all of us who have sinned, O God, send your mercy. To all who sorrow, your peace. Keep true in us the love with which we hold one another, because in all our ways we trust you. Eternal God, we thank you for sharing with us the life of Mary Pierce. Before she was ours, she was always yours. We thank you for that of Mary Pierce that has been given to make us what we are, for that of her that lives on and continues to grow in each of us, and for her life that in your love will never end. Now, Almighty God, into your hands we commend your precious daughter, in sure and certain hope of resurrection to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Her body has been committed back to the earth, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, and dust to dust. We know that you have received her into your arms, and that she will go forth from strength to strength in service to your heavenly kingdom, ever praising you, ever loving you, ever letting her face to shine upon us, and grant her your loving peace. So now draw those of us who remain in this life closer to one another. Make us faithful to serve as joyfully as she did, and give us to know that peace and joy and the breath of Christ, which is eternal life. May we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to turn to hymn 702 and rise up as we sing together with all the saints in glory. Thank you for being a part of this glorious celebration of life in Few Interfaith Chapel today. We are always welcoming you to Crowsdale Village. Hope that you will come again. And family, our heart goes out to you. I hope you have a wonderful family reunion. You know that that's what Mary Pierce wanted for you. Whatever it took to get you all together, she was willing to rise up and do it. You are invited to a reception at the home of Lee White and Julie Hoag. And there is an address card for their home in Chapel Hill if you would like to meet with Lee and Jim in the gathering space as you depart. They'll be glad to give you directions to that home. We will not have a reception here at Crowsdale Village. Thank you all for keeping your masks on And we pray that you will go forth in health and safety. And like Mary Pierce, rise up and enjoy this gorgeous day. Denise will bring the benediction.
So you have the words to Auld Lang Syne printed at the bottom of the page, and Greg will play it as our postlude. We sort of mumble through it, usually New Year's Eve, but there are many, many verses to this piece. It was penned by the Scottish poet Robert Burns after a conversation he had with an old man there, and it asked the question about two friends catching up with each other when they haven't seen each other for a long time. Is it right that old times be forgotten, that old friends be forgotten? It's a call to remember friendships, to cherish the memories that we've had. It literally means times long past or old long since, or for the sake of old times. And it's used to symbolize endings and new beginnings. So on February 5th, Mary Pierce had a new beginning. Can't you just hear the harmonicas, maybe the harps of heaven, the angel voices there in Auld Lang Syne? As long as we live, she too shall live. For she remains a part of us. Whenever we remember her, Auld Lang Syne. So go forth to live, loving as God taught Mary Pierce to do, welcoming all that you meet as friends, and may the peace of God reign in your hearts this day and forevermore. Amen.
I'm going to go to the next one. Thank you.